Egunon guztioi.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, as I was saying, and welcome to the press conference for the Icelandish film, which has just been screened in the press screening within the official section of the film festival in San Sebastian. We have with us the cast of the film, the director, co-scriptwriter, actor, leading actor and producer Baltasar Kormákur, the actors Hera Hilmar and Gísli Örn Garðarsson, the writer Ólafur Leggilegisson, and also the producer, executive producer Arnes Johansson. So let's commence. And the press conference, I hope I pronounced all those names right. I'm a bit difficult. But Spanish TV has asked me to please stand up when you ask your question so that people can see you. Okay, good morning. Thank you. Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask the director and a scriptwriter and the other scriptwriter as well, the co-scriptwriter, how was the script? Did you go around things a lot? Because I'm under the impression there's a lot of changes of direction. It's all quite logical, but there was a lot of changes of direction in the plot. Were there were several versions at the beginning, and how did you come to that final version or that final draft of the script? Did it take a lot of thinking? That's what I think he's trying to say.
I'll start, Oliver. Well, regarding the script, originally the script comes from Oliver's own experience with his sister. So I think, yes, the it took some development, the script, obviously, like most scripts do. And during the process of that, I learned about many stories similar to this in my country, some of them actually quite close to me. One of them about one of my best friends ended up taking a shotgun to fetch his daughter out of a situation like that. I think it's hard to answer because, yes, of course, any script takes a lot of thinking and a lot of work and trying to get the right conclusion to what kind of story you want to tell. And for me, it's very important that the story is about how violence can destroy people's lives, and it's the opposite of what you see in most Hollywood films when people shoot and go around shooting and there's no consequences to it, and you walk away as a hero. In this case, there's one shot taken in the movie and it ruins basically everybody's lives. So it was very important to me and see the downfall of somebody who has almost a perfect life and decides to take actions in his own hands. I'm not a judge, I'm not a preacher. So he takes action into his own hands and how his life, you know, turns after that. Olive.
Yeah, there was some searching for the right ending. It's a morality tale of a sorts. It's an Old Testament story. How justified are you in even when it concerns your children to do to take extreme measures? It took some searching and it took some thinking and then it took some editing to find the right ending, but I think it's rightly placed as it is, and as Baltasar says, it's a film about consequences, and yeah, that's it.
Yes, congratulations for the movie. I found it very beautiful and very meaningful. I understood it also as an homage to the tragedy of a tragic homage to fatherhood. Fatherhood is the fundamental trait, as I understand it. And I'd just like you to go to walk me a little bit through the various expressions of fatherhood, as the actor lived it, and maybe the children, the real one, and then the son-in-law that you kill. And the last thing is, what does that nod at the end of the movie mean?
The nod.
You know, the nod at the end when the police looking at you and you nod. What does that mean? Because
okay. Yes, it's being a father is a very complicated thing. I am a father of five. One of my daughters is my stepdaughter. Every relationship is different. I've taken two of them, two girls through adolescent, you know, like being a teenagers, and I've said, these gray hairs do not come from making films. You know, they come from, you know, taking children through those years. There's no harder thing. And I also explained how I connect with this very strongly, because I've been on big sets. I've been directing, you know, in the States, you know, with Denzel Washington and whoever, you know, and I'm total control of all of this. And then I come home and nobody does what I say, you know. I cannot control a 14-year-old. And because the same methods do not work on set as in your home. Try to talk to your wife like you're talking to your AD. It's not gonna work, you know. So, and in this case of Finner, the doctor, he is in total control, you know, of his life. He is the best surgeon in the country. He can save people's lives. He's almost the next thing to God, you know, in people's eyes. He has built up almost a perfect life. I say almost because there's nothing as perfect. He has a beautiful wife, second wife, a bit young for him, beautiful home, but there's cracks, you know. And when this, one of the biggest challenges in life appears in his life, he is not capable of dealing with it in any way. I also like and one of the things that was attracted me to this project and working on it with Olaf is the fact that it's also about lost masculinity, you know. The father has a role of protecting in a kind of an old way, and today it's changed. He has only daughters. There's women all around him. His boss is a woman. The police woman coming after him is a woman. And it's kind of the lost masculinity to these two men. They end up just going like that. They have nowhere to put their masculinity, so they just end up beating each other up. And if you watch the UFC, you know, the fighting contests, it's the only place where male can put their violent energy towards each other. And it's kind of interesting in the world of changed world, you know, that I think a lot of men are a bit lost in that situation. I hope that answers your question anyway.
They're
not in the end, and it was a lot of work to find this ending, you know. I had a different ending which was more conclusive in a way, you know, which explained better how the future of the relationships were, but I felt it opened more questions than it answered. Basically, the ending for me is between them is that she, the woman, the police woman, and as a criminal, I can imagine that if you do a crime like that, all of your life you'll be waiting for it to be caught. And that woman, it's an understanding between the two of them. She will do anything. She will never, never let him go. And he knows that. And he says, come and get me, you know? And in some way, there's an understanding between the two of them that this is going to be, you know, how it's going to go. And for me, it's I have had reoccurring dreams. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a murderer. But I've done, some things that I'm not proud of in my life. And I have a reoccurring dreams that I killed somebody. And I'm always like, I'm not sure how I did it, but I know they're just about to get me. The police is coming. They are finding out, you know. They found the body somewhere, and they're coming after me. And this is the feeling I think Finner will live with for the rest of his life. And for me, it's not about the physicality of, are you going to be put in jail? What is going to happen physically to you? This is a film about a relationship. This is a father trying to save the relationship with his daughter. Okay? And what he tries to save is what he loses, you know. And I think that's more important to me, where the film leaves you emotionally rather than what's going to physically happen to the characters in the movie.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Yes, next question, please. Hi, good morning, and congratulations. For Gisli and Era, as young actors, is there any message or any karma for younger people because of the roles that you've played in the film? Is there anything that you think you can transmit to younger people your same age in real life because of what happens and what you are because of your age? I hope that's clear. Is there anything you believe that you can convey through what you've done in the film in the roles that you've portrayed for younger people nowadays?
It's a big question. Yeah.
I mean, do not date Balthazar Kormák's children.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get into trouble.
Stay away from his kids.
I mean, is there anything we can convey to young people?
There's been a lot of. It's a very. It's a very current film in Iceland. There's been a lot of, you know, there's been a few cases where young people have kind of died at the hands of, you know, drugs and bad relationships. And recently there's been, I think, a couple of girls that, you know, had the great, like a good upbringing. And they've seen themselves at the hands of, you know, drugs and bad company, I guess. So there's been a lot of. It's an important film because it's a very current theme in Iceland, I feel incredibly proud being a part of a film like this because it's out now in Iceland and it's having a really big impact on a lot of people, and it's touching a lot of people because they know about the true stories that lie behind this film. So it's a very important one.
And I think it's hard to kind of go, you know, you just have to kind of play the part. You can't really kind of decide maybe what it means or what you're going to say with it, I feel. And what I found very interesting was like looking also into what's happening in terms of drugs in Iceland for young people now than, for example, when I was a teenager, although she's a bit older than that. But to me, it feels like it's spread more into kind of any area and any kind of people and from any kind of classes and stuff like that. Whilst before, I mean, it's obviously been in lots of places, but I personally feel like it was more kind of underground and more in certain like groups. And so to me, it was really interesting to kind of see, you know, to look into it can happen to anyone, and you don't need to be that damaged or that, you know, poor or whatever for that to be able to happen. And it can happen in a second. You can meet someone or, you know, maybe you just want something different or you're trying to find yourself. And sort of playing with that little kind of the gray area of like, will she go that way or the other way? And that to me is like the drama of it, because to me she can't be saved and she also can't be completely lost. And and that's something I think we can all relate to in some way, whether it's to specifically that world, which is obviously what we're looking at, but other things in life as well. So yeah, maybe that answers the question.
I also, I mean, a lot of films have tackled these kind of themes by going into the underworld, going into the belly of it, rolling in dance with people shooting themselves up. And I've seen a lot of that. This is a different version of it. Is it basically, it's about somebody who has protected himself, built a fort for his life, but suddenly this enters your fort. This is inside your living room. This is told from the perspective of a regular person. And I've said, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the East Europe or like different between countries or in countries. The people who have good lives tend to kind of push this away. This is not really part of our lives. But in the end, it's going to come into your houses. We cannot turn the blind eye on things that are happening in our neighborhoods or next neighborhood. And the same as said sometimes with the Eastern Europe. We cannot say, keep those Eastern Europeans in Eastern Europe and criminalize it, but it, because we are one, you know, we will float, you know, we will come over. And I think a lot of us who have better lives tend to do that. We tend to close it out, but once it's up, you know, it's actually happening to your children, you can't anymore, you know. And it's been currently in the media in Iceland, currently every weekend, there's either someone dying or someone lost. And often these are young girls, you know, that there's this typical picture of a young blonde girl with very dark eyebrows, almost tattooed on their and lost. And they're always lost because they run away from their parents and end up in the hands of the guys like that. Those, and for a while you can't get them out of there. That's why I say it's the opposite of these movies where somebody comes from us and takes her. In this case, it was very important to me that the girl is actually in love with him, you know, that beast. And so it's not a simple one, you just gotta find her and get her back. You gotta emotionally earn her back and try to unwind that. And there's no simple solution to that. It's you know, she is deeply in love with the man. And then I think vice versa. But in his life, you know, he will use videos of her having sex to get his things through. You know, he will use anything. But that does, in his world, that doesn't mean he's bad to her. It just means that his morals are different, you know. And I think that's what interests me, the moral ambiguity and the complexity of the situation.
I also find it interesting, like, the pressure on girls at that age today, in a way. Like, I mean, it's both girls and boys, but looking at a girl here. And I was speaking to, for example, some, like a physical trainer, for example, in Iceland, who's training girls in sports and all kinds of stuff. And he was sort of telling me a lot about, like, this age group. She's about 21 in the film. Of girls, the pressure on girls today to kind of, or maybe it's always been like that, but to be what they're supposed to be and to sort of win the world, and that depression levels, and this is both in Iceland and I know in the UK as well, of that age group of girls has risen crazy in the last, I don't know, couple of decades. And I found that interesting as well in terms of, like, you know, the pressure of a father who's like, he's got it all and he's you know, the great surgeon and he has the house and the wife and everything. And a girl who's clever enough to be able to do that, but obviously kind of rebels against that and is lost in this world of having, feeling like she has to be everything, kind of, and therefore goes the other way.
It's also, because the question was, what's the message for young people or relevance? There's also a message to parents and to loved ones of people who have end up in the wrong neighborhood, so to speak. It's a tango. It's a dance. You know, it's a bit of a Romeo and Juliet story. You know, Romeo and Juliet. They never would have killed each other if the parents just have said, okay, it's fine. You know, whatever. But there's the opposition of the father to the daughter's decisions kind of makes a lock that cannot be broken. So the message maybe for parents is also that you cannot, even no matter what the situation is, you're never justified in stepping in and taking over someone's life and making their decisions. You know, you can have your opinion, but you have to serve it with love. And there's this fine line, you know, being a parent, there's this fine line between taking care of someone and smothering him, you know. And children tend to, and young people tend to react very violently to any sense of being walled in or having their freedom taken away from them. So it's there's a message for both parties, I think.
In some way, the opposite of the Caucasus culprit, you know, the Salamis, yes, you know, when they throw the ring and put the child in the middle and the mothers pull each side, and then one mother lets go, and the judge says, well, the mother is the one who let go, you know. Mm-hmm. In this case, these guys, neither one of them is going to let her go. They just tear her apart through the middle, right through the middle, you know. So, but it's also, which is in the Scandinavian tradition, it's a thriller, you know, and it comes to your script thing as well. It's very important. I didn't want it to start like bam bam. Here's a thriller going on. It starts in a regular situation in a home and escalates in a thriller. And thrillers in the Scandinavian tradition deal with social issues. That's very common, even in policiers. I did a movie called Jar City some years ago. It has similar themes. That it's very important for the Scandinavian thriller that it's dealing with real issues, but in a thriller way. And for me, I wanted to keep it, you know, on that side. So I didn't want to dwell into family melodramatic, situations at home with the wife. It's very the story with the wife is told very simply, you know, and in silence, how that the marriage falls apart. So I didn't, you know, and that's, I think, which I like a lot, because it's a way of dealing with the real issues and drama, but do it in a way that is more entertaining for the audience.
Hola. Bueno, pues.
Hi, and echoing this, what you've just said, I thought it was quite curious, because when the film started, I thought, that's what I thought it was going to be, dramatic situations, but very day-to-day situations. It was going to be a normal drama, and I didn't think it was going to be very good, because the film festival was full of dramas, but I liked that big turn towards the thriller at the end. But I didn't want to ask you that, nevertheless, but why did you choose to be the leading actor in the film? And then to Gisli, for example, how did you work upon your character? How did you construct it? Because he's quite turbid, and he says he wants to leave that scene, and he's in love, and he wants to leave that scene, but we don't believe it. The audience, we don't believe it. All of those dark sides of him, light side and dark side, I thought it was all very dark and turbid in your character. How did you do this to construct that and to portray it so well on screen? That was for Gisli, right? The second one.
That's, for me, it's very important. I mean, a lot of, when you deal with thrillers, a lot of the time they're very contrived. You know, there's a shoehorn situation into it to be able to create a tense situation. Or you start with a dead body or something like that. I wanted an important thing to start in a very normal situation of a family, a normal people's life, and how not contrived organically, it will escalate into a situation where you have a thriller, and that was what my aim was. So I'm happy that it worked for you. I do agree. I think sometimes dry drama, somber melodramatic dramas, though I have nothing against them, often are not that appealing. And this is a more appealing way for me to tell the story instead of, you know, rolling in the drama. Regarding myself on the screen, I was hoping that my performance would answer your question with that, you know. But I have made about 10 or 15 movies. I don't know how many there are by now. I stopped counting a couple of years back. And I played in my first film At the time, I was financing reasons. I was one of the few known actors in Iceland. They wanted to play the lead. It was a 1-1 Reykjavik against Victoria Abril. But I just didn't see myself doing sex scenes with Victoria Abril and directing the scene at the same time. You know, I thought that was maybe not the right way to start.
You would lose concentration.
Yeah. And so I decided to take a smaller role, and in that case, and I didn't like my performance. I hated myself in the cutting room, and I was never going to do this again. And then 15 years passed, and I felt like, you know, when this came about, actually I felt for the first time in all these years, because I'd been asked in Everest and other movies, why don't you play this, you know, smaller character, or play this Balthazar, because people knew that I was originally a star as an actor. And I never felt it. It was just like, you know, why didn't you do this Hitchcock thing, you know? Why didn't you turn up in the movie? No, I don't want to do that. I don't like that, you know? So when this came about, I just felt in every bone of my body that I wanted to portray this character, and I wanted to show my vulnerability as a person and go back to acting and also connect with what I started, you know, because it became a strong equipment for me to work with actors, to know how to actors deal with being in front of camera, how little things can be difficult. And through the years, you go away from that. And also, we have a small actors pool in Iceland, and I just felt, in all honesty, I felt I was probably the best cast for this. You know, it was a successful man, you know, at a certain age, and which I've been, and he with a lot of character issues, you know, and I do have a lot of character issues. I have anger issues, and I'm, you know, a lot to deal with. So I felt, yeah, this is a character that, you know, suits me well, and I felt this was a way also to make the film as personal as possible.
Yeah, and to my character, I think when he says those things about moving to Norway with a girl, and I think he really means it, and he at that moment he would really like to do that, but then I think he changes colors really quickly, and that's I know a few guys who are not so dissimilar to this character, and you know they'll when they say they love you, they mean it like nothing else, and when they say they hate you, they mean it like nothing else, and you just want to be at the love side with them. And so Balthazar was really kind of, he pushed it really hard against like making it all really true in the moment, you know. So this guy was dealt a hand that he's angry about. I think these characters could have been, you know, my character could have become a doctor, but he just chose the wrong path, or like he ended up in the wrong path. And this is very Icelandic in a way, because, you know, Iceland is a good society. You have a lot of opportunities, and equal rights are kind of at the forefront. So anybody can become a doctor in Iceland, and anybody can become a drug dealer in Iceland. And it's somehow on the way you choose a path that takes you in the wrong direction. And I think with my character, there's just a lot of anger that goes with that, and there's a lot of jealousy towards this guy, in a way.
And I think it's a, you know, sociopathic behavior that even though he knows you're lying at some point, he believes it strongly in the moment, you know. And it's, as Gisne said, you can tell a girl that you love her, and then you'll meet another one the day after, you tell her exactly the same. And it's not that you don't mean it. It's just you really mean it in the moment. And I know people like that. I have actually worked with people like that. And it's quite fascinating, you know, how strongly they believe in their own lies, you know. And I think that's part of their charm, you know. That's part of why a man like that can be incredibly charming to a girl like that, even though she realizes how dangerous he is, and I think that was, you know, he's not lying because it becomes almost like an animalistic instinct of surviving, you know, and I think that's why it was important to me with Gisle's performance, that It felt never fake or never that he was pretending, you know, in the moment. He was actually believing it and living it, you know. And I asked Gisle to take it as close to himself as he could, you know, to create that character inside of himself, not outside of himself, you know, which I think he did a tremendous job with. And I think it's important, and I've heard a lot also from people that the sympathy turns at the moment when the mother shows up and Gisle, you know, starts telling me about his past, that sympathy turns towards him and people get moral ambiguity at the moment. Which am I, you know, staying with here now? Who is the character that I'm supporting? And I think that's very important.
Yeah, we often get the question, who is really the bad guy in the film? Yeah.
Which is the story, you know, in the end, when you take those measures, you know, who is in the end the bad person, you know?
Which is a great question. I mean, especially, I've had a few young kids ask that, you know, who is the bad guy?
And in American films, that's always clear, you know? In this case, I like it's not, you know, you have to think about it and go like, well, you know, actually, I understand why the father did it, but is it right, you know?
We have time for one more question. In that sense, talking about bad guys in the film, what about the role of the policewoman? Because it seems that citizen is unprotected. The girl is truly with someone who's committing crimes, but the police, there's no possibility of or a disappearance, or there's a murder, the police doesn't intervene, really. How did you address that? The role that the police play in the film?
Well, I think it was very important for me that when somebody like Finner asks for the help of police, there's none to get, you know, and I think it's very, everyone here knows that. You know, they break into your car, they break into your home, and you call the police and they say, well, there's not much we can do. Until somebody kills you, you know, then they'll show up and maybe check it out, but it's too late, right? So I feel that that we are, most citizens are feeling less and less protected by the police. Part of it is because of the less of the financing, and there's all kinds of reasons. I didn't want to make them monsters. It's the system that doesn't work, you know. And I've said police fighting against drugs is like fighting an avalanche with a teaspoon, you know. They absolutely lost this, and they know it. There's no reason to go after a guy like Gisle in this case. He's going to come out in a couple of weeks. It doesn't matter. It's just a rolling dice. You know, nothing. You know, and even in guys like that, they know they're going to get, like in Iceland, they got a couple of good meals, a rest, they can sleep, read a book, and you know they're out. It's not that the jails are not that bad in Iceland. You know, and you know some of them you can even go. You know, on the weekends you can go visit your family. You know, it's like. So it's not, and the system has lost in this game. And here's Finner. He's a man who saves lives for a living, right? That's all he does. He's done it for the last 20 or 30 years. But when it comes to his daughter, he has no help. There's no means. There's nothing he can do. So I just wanted to portray that in through the police, but not with the policewoman not wanting to help. It's more that she can, and she goes by certain rules. So it's actually the woman who plays. I looked for somebody for a long time to play that. In the end, she is actually she works for the government. She was a policewoman. Now she is what do you call this? Saksognari. How do you say that?
District attorney.
District attorney for the state. And her sister's an actress, and her husband is an actor very well known in Iceland, but this is the first time she acts herself, and I just wanted the real kind of real person, you know, and how they deal with this. She's cracked some of the hardest killers in Iceland, this woman, in reality.
It's also about in the first situation, it really isn't up to the state to police a relationship between a daughter and a father, no matter what the situation is. That's also a factor that we tend to say, you know, why are our children badly behaved? You know, the school isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. But of course, it's it's up to us. It's our personal relationship. And in the end, there's nothing that says that he really gets away with it. You know, the knot, there's an open door to the possibility that, you know, he will get caught, or they haven't given up, you know, not this policewoman.
She will not give up on anything, you know. That's kind of a character I like. She's just like, whether it's right or wrong what you did, you know, I will go by the book and find you, you know. You know, I will be for the rest of your life looking over your shoulder.
Okay, thank you very much. Muchísimas gracias a todos.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.